The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to go to Churchill Downs today. A former intern from many years ago who is now crushing it in Louisville, WHS TV's Sarandon Raboyne. Sarandon is such a cool person. Saw her last year was at the PGA Championships in Louisville. Super talented. She is, she's what I call a riser. Louisville will not be her final stop unless she wants it to be. So Sarandon's going to be with us here in a few minutes from the Derby because, you know, this is a big horse racing state here in Arizona. I want to know about the weather. I want to know about the favorites. I want to know how to bet on it. I want to know if she dresses up, all that stuff. And Sarandon will be with us. She is terrific. Another terrific guest is Jody Jackson. So Jody and I are going to do a weekly segment on baseball, and it's going to involve the Diamondbacks, but it may involve anything else we want to talk about around the, you know, the diamond. We may call it Diamond Notes. I know it's been used in the past, but our friends at Rock and Protein said, Brad, we want you, and you do a segment and do what you want, and we're there to support. And I said, I want Jody, and Jody said, let's go. Let's do it. So that is all straight ahead. Sarandon and Jody on today's show. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. There are just some weird stories today that I could go down the rabbit hole on, and I might just as I go through this. The chairman of the board, Jared Nielsen, may be screaming at me, because he always screams, to get back on track. No, he doesn't. But if anything goes wrong, Iron Man is the one to blame on this. That's the way it goes. So if I decide to rant for a few minutes longer than I should or less, then blame him. A guy falls out of the stands, and I'm not making light of this. I'm just surprised it doesn't happen more often at sporting events, because it feels to me like when I go to games, it's the place where people believe that I am getting away from all of my troubles at work, which is what sports is about. It's the entertainment business. And so I'm going to go get just plastered and nobody's going to do anything about it. Or I'm going to go to the movies. I'm going to sit on my phone with my screen bright and talking to my friends while the movie's going on. Nobody's going to do anything about it. I'm only going off of what has been reported so far is that the guy that fell out of the stands yesterday in Pittsburgh, he's still alive. Awful situation, but that he was completely inebriated and intoxicated from those sitting around him. That's just what's out there right now. Then we have Bill Belichick's girlfriend. He's in his 70s. She's in her early 20s. She doesn't like the questions being answered about how Bill came to be with her. Bill's doing a book publicity tour. Here's how it works, just so you guys know, to pull the sausage back. How sausage is made in this is, this would be a book. So I get a book sent to me. I'll see a book that I want. Like right now I'm reading a story about, a book about Tiger Woods' caddy, Steve Williams. Steve will come on this show at some point in time, and I will do the interview with him. If I have a PR person, whoever says, what are you going to ask my client about the book, they're not doing this show. It doesn't work that way. We're not going to give you the bullet points. The best interviews are those that aren't scripted. And so all CBS News was doing was their job. If they had the publicist, like, look, we're not sending you guys questions. So if his pouty girlfriend says he's not asking that, you know, interview's over. We're not going to do this. It's just a bad look for Bill Belichick to be wrapped up in all this. You know, it just feels weird. He doesn't mention Bob Kraft in the book. He's just, I don't know, he's just going about his business in a weird sort of way. And you talk about the legacy of, well, what did he do after he was done at in New England? Well, he went to North Carolina. He actually did a year of inside the NFL over on CW. And then he went to North Carolina. He met this girl. He did a book tour. She stormed out. They stopped the interview. And that stuff's going to get more play than all the other parts outside of Tom Brady and Bob Kraft. I just don't understand sometimes. Because I have had people that have said, well, what are you going to ask my client? And I said, I'm going to do my thing. Well, we need to know specifically, this is the wrong show for you. Thank you very much. And there have been some big names. I'm not going to play around with the, well, we want this certain narrative. If you're going to write a book, you have to do the book. And I'm not going to give away the book because I know you got to sell the book. I know that. Anyways, that's my first rant of the day. I watched the Lakers last night. You know, everybody, and I'll side on the just the general fandom. Oh my gosh, the Lakers have Luka. They are going to blow through everybody. I think Charles said it last night inside the NBA. Luka couldn't guard a chair. You know, LeBron's 40. So, and I'm watching Rudy Gobert just destroy the Lakers, just absolutely annihilate them. And Anthony Edwards becoming the face of the NBA. I'm seeing young against old. I'm seeing good chemistry versus chemistry that's not great. J.J. Redick melting down on a reporter's question. I mean, you're not, you have every right to question. You don't have every right to melt down. Stuff shouldn't impact you. You're a head coach in the NBA. You got a thicker skin than that. But the point of this is are the Lakers any better? Like, they traded a boatload to get Luka. And they don't have the power inside. And Luka's not going to get any better on defense. And LeBron's going to get a year older. And the Bronny situation is going to be hanging over their head. It's just going to be this big soap opera. And yet we will see the Lakers play most every night somewhere because it draws numbers. And we won't see that here in Phoenix. Phoenix will see if Kevin Durant still happens to be here. Occasionally you'll see Devin Booker. Devin Booker will get passed over for the All-Star game. Fans will get outraged, rinse, repeat. That's what it is here. It's not that hard. It really isn't. The Diamondbacks, like Corbin Burnes looks better. And then he has five walks and a balk. Looks like he's turning the corner, but maybe my expectation should be $200 million, top of the line starter. Just go out and blow away the competition. Hasn't happened. We're here on May 1st. He finally got his first win of the season yesterday. Maybe he's just rounding into form. I have to ask Jody about this. You know, they're putting Justin Martinez on the injured list today. Think of all the arms so far this season, and there's a new pitching coach in place. I am not blaming the new pitching coach. I am merely saying Brent Strom's gone. New bullpen guy and Fett's gone. And all of a sudden you have injury, 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 injury. Last year when Merrill Kelly got hurt, they were in the World Baseball Classic in March. It was too taxing, in my opinion, on Merrill last season. You know, so I'm looking at where they are, and you know how it went last year where they missed the playoffs by a game, and it could be a game in April that you blow. Last night they almost blew another one, but you have Kevin Ginkle, who's now back. Ryan Thompson's not a closer, in my opinion. Can Shelby Miller be a closer? Is that where we are? So there's all these parts just internally. And then there's the fact that if you look down on the farm, there's some players that are absolutely killing it. They're probably ready to come up here to the big league level. If you look at the total depth of outfielders on this team, and Jake McCarthy got sent down, and Gurriel hasn't really played great yet, there's a dearth of outfielders. So if you're going to make a deal, Bob Nightingale reported that the Diamondbacks are looking at the Cardinals and bullpen help there. You're going to make a deal. I do believe they have more than enough resource to make a deal. And then Ketel Marte is coming back. I'll talk to Jody about that here in a little bit too. That's about it. Yesterday I played up at Quintero, didn't play well. That's a great course. I chased the ball and I don't think you can see all the blood, all the scrapes. I mean, I got the blood off, but decided to be one of those guys. It's like, I'm going to go find my ball. Oh, it's right there. I can almost reach it. And I come out, it looked like I was in a war zone. I had to have triage on the 14th hole. Dumb. Idiot me. All right. Next, it's Sarandon Raboin from the Kentucky Derby in Louisville. And then it's Jody Jackson from New York City with the Diamondbacks. That is all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, it's the smiling, whenever we see former Sports 360 AD teammates that go on to crush it, like Sarandon Raboin in Louisville, WHAS, and it's the week of, it's not just Kentucky Derby, right? It's Flying Pig Marathon Week, right? What is that?
We have the Kentucky Derby. We have the Kentucky Oaks. It's all Derby week, essentially. And we have 5-0 Tuesday. This is Thurby for Thursday at the Derby. So we have Thurby. So there's all kinds of craziness going on. We had the bed races yesterday. There's a great steamboat race. There's all kinds of different events.
Yeah. Which do you prefer covering?
I mean, the Derby is just, nothing is like the Derby, especially like I grew up in Arizona. So coming out here and seeing it in person after watching it on TV for so many years is just so incredible. And it's so much bigger than you can possibly ever imagine.
Okay. Tell me why that is the case, because I grew up showing horses. I didn't race horses. I did Western. I did trail. Mm-hmm. But when I hear journalism is 4-1, and here's Brandon, who's covering all of this in Louisville. You didn't know how big it was. In what ways do you now know how big it is, Sarandon?
Well, it's just like everyone is so invested in horse racing. It's like if you know, football had like the biggest day ever. It's just, it's like the Super Bowl every single year is in Louisville. It is incredible. And everyone, no matter if you're into horse racing or not, you get involved in the Derby and you start learning the trainers. These trainers come here every single year. You get to know them. You get to know who they're working with. And so it's so fascinating to see like these people who come here every single year and kind of, you know, you get to be familiar with them. And this year we have Bob Baffert is back at Churchill Downs for the first time since he was suspended for a positive drug test. So that's a face and name that a lot of people recognize, and they're excited to see him back. And so, you know, it's hard to put into words of just how much pride and pageantry there is around the Derby, but it really is just such a special event. And there's month-long events leading up to the Derby that get the city involved and get everyone excited for it. And so you really do feel like this is Derby season. It's just this time of year. It's just Derby.
Okay, so if Bob Baffert walks by, is it like, I don't know, Tom Brady to the sport, LeBron James to the sport? Does everybody want a piece in your world of Bob Baffert?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Bob Baffert walked by me, and it was like, oh, my God, that's the guy. I mean, wow. He is so easy to pick out with his white hair and his tinted sunglasses. Like, everyone knows what Bob Baffert looks like. He stands out in a crowd very easily. And so when you're out in the backside, and I've been on the backside all week, all last week, you're seeing just mass amounts of people watching his horses, watching him work on the backside. Because, you know, these trainers have their Derby and their Oaks horses, but they also have all of their undercard horses, right? So they have all the horses that are running all the rest of the week. So they're getting a ton of horses ready, and you can kind of just see how they work with every single horse. And today, there was easily maybe, you know, 30 people outside of this barn waiting to just catch a glimpse or catch a moment with Bob Baffert. It's pretty incredible to see.
Sarandon Raboin is with us, WHAS. She is a alum of Sports 360, more importantly, Cronkite at ASU. And do you have family that you need to say hi to while we're doing this just to get it out of the way? It's fine. You know me.
My mom and dad and my sister always love to see me on television, and it's probably nicer for them to see me on Arizona television rather than having to watch me stream the Louisville news that they get to watch me on. But they're always been such big supporters of me, and they have supported my career from before I was even at Cronkite since I was in high school.
Why not? right?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't they? Of course. You were meant to do this. Okay. So if you're betting, there's people that are watching. It's like, oh, it's all great, Brad, but I'm just going to throw cash on a horse.
As so we all do.
Brandon, where's your cash going on the Derby this week?
Okay. So I'm going to say with the Kentucky Derby,
yeah,
journalism is like, it is the favorite for a reason. It is, I mean, we saw with March Madness that the number one seeds really had it on lock. I think this year with the Derby, it might be the number one seeds across the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. Just the two favorites are far and away one of the best looking horses I've seen. Now, that's not to say that anything can't happen. I've seen Rich Strike in my own eyes win from being a scratch on Derby Day and coming in and no one expecting it in the longest long shot ever. So anything can happen. If you have a horse in the gate, you have a chance to win the Kentucky Derby. Mm. So I like journalism. I'm also really like publisher with Steve Asmussen. He has never won the Derby. It will be really interesting to see if he can finally get his white whale. I don't think you can count out Bob Baffert in his first year back. I think that if you are going to pick a Baffert horse, because he has two with Citizen Bowl and Rodriguez, I think you have to go with Rodriguez. Citizen Bowl kind of got a worse draw on starting gate with number one. So, I mean, but I always say, I could tell you what horse to bet on and what horse not to bet on. You can pick a horse based on name and vibes alone, or because you want a gray, and you probably have the same amount of track record as I do. You know what I mean? Like, there's something just so magical about the Derby and the Oaks that anyone can win, and you can put a horse on, you know, any or some money on any horse, and it would still be a winner.
Do you bet on jockeys? Do you get to know the jockeys well?
I am starting to get to know the jockeys. There's a few jockeys that like kind of pop when I'm looking through a program. Brian Hernandez is one of them. You have Flavian Fratt. There are some jockeys that have just had a lot of success throughout their career. I will say with the Derby though, there are so many jockeys that have had success that like almost you have to talk with the jockey about how their relationship is with the horse rather than just kind of like seeing the jockey, because they all have talent. If you're running in the Kentucky Derby and you are the jockey in the Kentucky Derby, you have the talent to win the Kentucky Derby. It's really just how do you mesh with that horse?
Wow. Look at you. Look at you. You're just
kidding. Did I know anything about horse racing when I was working at Sports 360 AZ? No. And you're right.
Yeah, that's well, but you know, you're equipped to do this. Now I hear that I'm going to have you put your meteorologist hat on, because there's going to be people that are going to put money down on this. Are we even going to have a race?
We will probably have a race. It probably will be sloppy track. It's what my meteorologists are telling me.
Okay.
Granted, we thought it was going to rain over the last couple of days and it hasn't really, which kind of makes it not great for the Derby. So who knows if it's going to rain throughout the day, if it will be in like later towards the Derby is run at like 7 o'clock local time. Mm-hmm. So it is, whether or not that rain comes in the afternoon or if it holds off until after 7 o'clock, that could also be a factor. But I think it'll be a wet track.
Do you are you working on Kentucky Derby Day, or do you get all dressed up and work, or do you go as a fan? How do you take it? Do you have like the big poofy hats and all that stuff?
I have gone as a fan the last 3 years. I've worked in the morning. We used to have a morning show at the Churchill Downs or the Kentucky Derby Museum. And so I used to go after that. And after I was done with the day, I would go as a fan. So I have gotten all dressed up and I wear my fascinator. I haven't done a big hat yet. I've done fascinators and smaller hats. I'm getting into it. I'm starting.
A fascinator.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to get my terms down correct.
Fascinator are the headbands. Hats are like the big wide brim. That's the difference. But I'm going to be at the Oaks tomorrow on Friday. That's the all-female horse race. That's the filly race. And so I will be at the track for that tomorrow, and I'll get all dressed up and do everything there.
You're doing great. I appreciate it. All right. I'm very happy to have Jody Jackson with us every week, brought to you by Shamrock Farms. We appreciate Shamrock Farms saying, hey, you two go chop it up on baseball and the Diamondbacks. I think we're even probably going to talk a little bit about your daughter's softball journey at some point, because ball is ball, bat is bat. You know, let's just
diamond sports. You got to love it.
That's it. Okay, so you're in New York City. You're just about ready for the Diamondbacks broadcast. Yes. What is wrong with Justin Martinez? There. That's it. Let's just start there.
This is why you get the big bucks, Brad, because you ask the great questions. Yes, what is wrong with him? It seems to be a big mystery right now. He's saying he feels good, great even. He just has been described as shoulder fatigue. You know, whether that means that, turns into a dead arm or something like that. Now, talking to Troy Lovello just about an hour ago, just a little bit ago in his office, he was saying they have to dive into not only evaluation, they will do an MRI as soon as maybe later today. He's on his way back there to Arizona. But, you know, also just figuring out with Brian Kaplan, the pitching coach, like what's going on with the delivery. Is it possible that if the MRI shows nothing, you know, because Torrey was asked that, if he feels fine and the MRI shows nothing, then what do you do? And it's basically looking into the delivery, the finish of the pitches, trying to figure out where that velocity has gone, because it has dipped a lot. The homer last night, that was his first batter face, you know, that was like a 95 mile an hour sinker. And Justin is throwing those usually 9,900 sinker, four seamer. They're both in that range. He doesn't throw the four seamer all that much, but it is really concerning, especially because you look at the Diamondbacks now, they had wanted to add a closer, a veteran closer. They were not able to do that. And they figured, look, we can go with Justin Martinez. We can go with AJ Puck. Right. We could even use Kevin Ginkle if we need to, which Kevin Ginkle just came back last night. And now all of a sudden you're without AJ Puck. He has a flexor strain in that elbow, which is good news that he doesn't need surgery, but he will be out. You would imagine it would be an extended period of time. They haven't said how long, but you're talking about, this is not weeks, it's probably more than a month. Whether it's multiple months, I don't know. So the closer situation is in flux once again. The easy candidates are the ones that are left that have done it. It's Ginkle. You could have Shelby Miller doing it. You could have Ryan Thompson do it like he did last night. But it is certainly not anything the D-backs could have envisioned.
Okay, so I'm not putting you on the spot on this. I don't think I am. I'm just looking at it from thousands of feet up in the air. The injuries that have happened to the bullpen, so they change pitching coaches. Okay, Brent Strom's no longer here. First-year pitching coach. All of a sudden, we have all these arms that we're looking at down in the bullpen that are hurt. And, you know, I'm just wondering if there is a difference in philosophy, and maybe it is release point, to your point. Are they looking that deep on it, or is this just simply physical?
Oh, I'm sure they're looking at all of it, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence to suggest that this isn't just, we don't know why guys get injured at times, right? Is it overuse? You would say, is it overuse? They haven't really overused these guys. I mean, certainly not Martinez. I mean, AJ Puck, you know, they did, you know, he did talk about conversations, or Torrey might have mentioned it. When we were in Miami, Torrey mentioned it. I think AJ kind of followed it up with, you know, getting warm. And then if I'm going to get warm, I'm going to go pitch, or, you know, try and do it. But that's an age old, Brad, you know, covering baseball years ago. I mean, it's an age old thing, you know, managing that usage down there. And I don't think that's always been a struggle, no matter who the pitching coach was. So certainly there are questions that need to be looked at, because you're right, it is a new group of coaches, but it also could just be guys getting injured. You know, we saw it last year. We said, hey, it's because they went to the World Series. They played into November.
Right.
You know, and that's why Zach Gallen was in and out. That's why Zach was actually around most of the year. But, you know, Merrill Kelly getting hurt like he was, and different guys. And so, you know, with this, it's really hard to tell. But it does happen. So I'm loath to just pin it on, okay, because this group is new. I don't really know. I mean, a lot of these guys, they have their own, they know what they've been doing the last few years.
Right.
They know what new ideas came their way. And as guys are more and more, pitchers, they know their bodies pretty well.
So at the end of the day, they're kind of, many of them, especially a veteran like AJ Puck, I imagine he's very conscious of like what he can and can't do. So hopefully these are things that do get resolved, especially with J-Mart. Hopefully that gets resolved sooner rather than later for everything to kind of at least come back together and have the semblance of the bullpen you thought you were going to have.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, McCarthy being sent down, the injuries, Bob Nightingale reported the Diamondbacks have interest in St. Louis's closer. So, I mean, there's going to be, you look at the roster and say, okay, there's this logjam in the outfield. Your bullpen is in tatters on May 1st, but we're not hearing the word shutdown for the entire season yet. And maybe it's all these outfielders is the place where they go. And down on the farm, you've got an infielder who's killing it down on the farm. Just so we're really clear about this. And maybe there's some positional moves that can be made. Marte is going to be back in Philly, no? Or the next homestand?
Yeah, it's looking like, yeah, I asked Troy that today, and I said, because he played 5 innings yesterday, we thought it might be more, would he still be available? And it still seems like he's coming to Philly. Not official, but we will know soon.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just throwing it out there to you. There's options. It's early in the season, but it's not early in the season. You miss the playoffs by one game. It could be the one game that you lose where your bullpen is in tatters in May or April.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're right. Every game matters, and that's clear. And, the run that the Mets are on, because they're the team that you directly lost tiebreaker, you looked at that Mets-Braves situation, yep. It hurts. It hurts to think about, could that happen again? Then you look at it, and this is a really good club, the Mets, but, they're on quite a roll. And is that going to be sustainable all year? No, of course not. So we do have a lot. There's going to be ebbs and flows of the entire season. Yeah. And that's why at the end of the day, when Torrey takes heat for sitting guys, you can't have it both ways, right? You can't. And I know pitchers and position players are different, but they all need rest. So they're doing the best they can do to manage everyone, keep everyone healthy for the 162, which you're right. It shriveled out now to we played 30 games pretty much. So they have to just go out every day and try to win the inches as they always have. And before they had the bigger payroll that they have now, but it's all the little things that matter so much.
Yeah, no, that's right. I'm not pushing panic buttons. So off the field, have you done anything cool the last couple of days in New York City? You had a day off in New York City, right? I think Monday you were in New York.
Yes. The weather's been so great. I just leaned into running around the city. I went down to the High Line. I hadn't done that before. It's easy one in Central Park, which I did do on Tuesday. The High Line is kind of a neat raised old, I guess it's an old subway line. It's now like a garden. You've probably been on it, garden walkway. And I went down to Chelsea area, which I really hadn't spent a lot of time down there. And I really just, I didn't do music. I've done a lot of the touristy stuff before. I have done the Statue of Liberty in the past, the Empire State Building. And of course the memorial, the 9/11 memorial. So I just kind of went around the city, enjoyed. I had a good New York bagel with cream cheese.
Like
the coffee. The simple things, right? The coffee's really good here. I didn't, this is sacrilege, right? I didn't have a piece of pizza.
Come on.
I know. I missed that.
You're going to Philly after this. Are you guys taking the train?
Actually, the team is busing, my husband is out here because he has some business out here as well. And so we are actually taking a train after dinner tonight.
Fun.
So I'm going on my own and on the train, but the team is busing.
And then you could hit Geno's tomorrow or Saturday, maybe.
Yeah.
You have to run the Rocky Balboa statue in Philly.
Yeah, we'll see how much I can get done. It's going to be a little tighter in Philly. No off day. You go bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Night game, night 6:05 game, day game. So,
All right. Well, this is how it's going to be every week, unless you want to throw something else in there every week as we go along. But
Shout out to – I will, if you're going to just let me plug whatever I want.
Yeah, whatever you want. I don't care.
Toronto Del Sol ladies got their play-in game done. They're headed toward a matchup with it. I'm not really sure who it is. It may be Red Mountain again, which was the matchup last year. But yeah, Corona was able to get past. Oh gosh, I forgot Mountain Ridge yesterday. So it's that time of year, you know. It's getting pretty exciting on all the baseball and softball fronts, from high school to college to the big leagues.
Okay, so as a mom, are you taking this thing out and watching? Is there a stream of the game, and you're like?
I just looked at the game changer. I didn't want to get in the video, because I really, like, it's crazy how much you can miss if you look away during the big league game. You know, you might miss something really interesting. So I, as a reporter, you know,
I know you could have,
but I didn't get into the video.
You could have a fan fall out of the stands, like in Pittsburgh. I mean,
you know,
not joking.
Horrible, horrible situation. Yeah. Please, everybody, be safe out there. And I don't know the situation, but hopefully he's going to survive, that gentleman.
Yeah, have fun today. You have a good perch. You have a good spot. The same.
Great. I'm getting ready to go down shortly. You know, it's always it's good. This here, because we call them the Soto seats now, because they took where I used to have the camera well, and they made it really luxury seats that are right next to, only a window pane separates like Torre Lovello and the coaches from these people now sitting there, which used to be me.
Yeah.
But I think they jokingly called them the Soto seats because they had to pay Juan Soto a crazy amount of money for 15 years. What is it, $700 million or whatever it is? So here in New York, they jokingly call it the Soto seat. So I'm down on the other side of the dugout. I'm still in a good spot.
Yeah.
Not as good as it was, but.
Yeah, no balls or bats fly into your space?
Luckily, no. My camp, actually, there's a netting that's really high here. So when the guys come off and they want to toss a ball to a fan, it's actually really hard to get it over the net. So one did hit my cameraman yesterday, because Gino Suarez, I think Gino was trying to get it over, and it didn't. So you never know what's going to happen, Brad.
These are the fun things with Jody on the road. All right, get out of here. I know you got to work. Appreciate you and look forward to every week.
Thank you, Brad. We'll talk to you soon.
Jody Jackson, brought to you by Shamrock Farms. She is on the road in New York City. She'll be with us every week, and we're back with more after this timeout.